Oh, that's right. It's time for the I Love Ann Show. And boy, do I have a special guest host here with me this morning. I tell you what, it's not bad when you can pick up the phone and call one of your buds and say, can you help me out this morning? And he agrees. Who is it? Well, it's the one and only Jim Bohannon. How you doing this morning, Jim?
I'm doing fine, Ann. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, listen, you've made some changes in your life, and I just was thinking, how is this working out, being in South Carolina as opposed to being in Washington, D.C. with all the hubbub? Are you adjusting?
Well, it's certainly a lot easier to live here just by virtue of not being so hectic and the rush hour and the like. So, yes, it's more pleasant in that regard.
Yeah. And are you sleeping through the night?
Oh, some. It pretty much is more of a normal schedule than it used to be. Of course, I was working all night long. So, yes, it's I'm up late, but not as late, not much later than many other people. So, yeah.
Well, I was just curious how the body is adjusting, or are you pacing the floor going, I got to be doing this, I got to be doing that?
No. I'm not quite that frantic and hectic. No, I'm adjusting quite fine.
Well, it's a different paced life, I'm sure.
Well, it is a different paced life. There's no question about it. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. One should stop and smell the roses now and then.
Well, that's good. That's good. I've been a little curious how it would be. I know how I am when I get off my schedule.
Well,
being all wound up all the time, my body goes, "What's wrong with you, Ann?"
Well, I mean, I've never been that hooked on schedules. Honestly, I pretty much adapt with whatever the circumstances demand. So, it has been no big deal. I don't get jet lag, for example. So it's not as though. I have, quote, a schedule, and any deviation from that bothers me. It doesn't really. So this is the new schedule, that's all.
Well, I guess as being a reporter and learning to anytime have Mike will be there in the past and having to adjust your sleeping schedule, maybe that stayed with you, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always been very adaptable in my job at many points in my life. Did insist that I be adaptable and fill it for other people and other schedules. So as a result, I've never really felt any great any need to adhere to a given schedule. I adhere to whatever is necessary. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. Well, we certainly are glad to have you here in South Carolina, and look forward to many, many, many more years of you being with us on the Jim Bohannon Show from 10 o'clock at night till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, absolutely. And, of course, I still contribute to America in the Morning. So I'm still on there with my interview, and my offbeat feature will be returning any day now. So you still hear me on that show. I just don't host the entire show.
Well, I'm sure you'll be able to find a lot of offbeat things here in South Carolina, Jim.
Well, every now and then. I found that is pretty much universal across the country. There are people who do strange things in every part of the country and every part of the world.
That's true. Well, there's been a lot of good things that happened this week. Gosh darn, we had a debate last night. We had the State of the Union. We had Governor Haley's response to the State of the Union. Any topic that you'd like to talk about here this morning? I know last night, of course, you were talking with everybody about the debate, but what was your takeaway from the debate?
Well, it had some expected clashes and some maybe less expected clashes. Everybody knew that Donald Trump and Ted Cruz would be going at it, and they certainly did. I think just by virtue of the fact that he is such a superior debater, whereas Trump is more of a blowhard, really, that I thought Cruz took the better of those exchanges, both regarding his Canadian birth and regarding the loan that he took and didn't file paperwork with the Federal Election Commission. Not expected, at least I didn't see this coming, was the dust-up that occurred between Marco Rubio and Chris Christie, in which Christie took out, Rubio went after Christie for a number of things, including contributing to Planned Parenthood, which Christie says he's never done, and being for gun control, which Christie says he's never been. So Christie dismissed it as merely politics as usual, and said that Rubio had gone after Jeb Bush some weeks back, so it's just politics as practiced in this day and age. So those were some of the things. I thought that Cruz did a good job. I thought Rubio did well. Both of them are experienced debaters, and experience does count, even though it's hard to convince some people of that in this election cycle. Carly Fiorina on the undercard debate, I thought was the better of the three, best of the three, but of course she's back on the undercard debate. And
right.
That does not bode well for her with the votes coming up in Iowa and New Hampshire very soon. And heck, we're just a little over a month away from the vote in South Carolina. So, and two other people are worthy of note. Two people, in fact, the only other two people besides Donald Trump who have ever led the entire Republican field nationwide, and that would be Ben Carson and Jeb Bush. Both have been slipping precipitously, and neither showed any indication they were going to turn that around. So they are both headed for also-run status very shortly.
What do you think about the fact that Lindsey Graham is going to endorse Jeb Bush, though?
Well, that kind of surprised me. I thought that Lindsey would endorse Marco Rubio, actually.
Did you?
I don't know that. I mean, I don't think that's going to make much difference in South Carolina. I think that an endorsement of Rubio, who has been competitive, would probably have made some difference. I'm not sure that the Lindsey Graham endorsement of Bush is going to make much difference at all, either nationwide, certainly, or even in South Carolina.
Well, it's interesting that we're making the comparison between him coming on board with McCain and that what it did. I also didn't know that, although I probably should have, is that Major General Livingston was a co-chair with Jeb Bush here in South Carolina, for Jeb Bush here in South Carolina.
I was not aware of that either. Didn't know that.
So it is interesting that Jeb Bush is so well connected. Really, I think probably wherever he goes, he's well connected. But as one of the commentators were saying last night, he jabs, but he never punches.
Well, he does do a lot of more jabbing than punching. I'm not sure in the context of modern rhetorical wrestling that he throws, quote, punches, unquote. But he knows everybody. He's got a ton of contacts. He's got a lot of PAC money behind him. Jeb has the resources to drag his candidacy out to the convention. I just don't think that he wants to do that. I mean, there are vanity candidates who have known virtually from within 2 weeks into their campaign that they weren't going anywhere. Jeb, I don't think, is one of those. So he could keep this going for a long time. He's got an organization. But I don't think that, frankly, by the way he shows following Iowa and New Hampshire, I would be very surprised if Jeb Bush even stays on through South Carolina.
You think? Yeah. Well, how are you feeling about, are you ready to give us a prediction on who? I know you like one or two there, and who do you think's going to end up with it?
Well, at this juncture, I think it is really wide open. I'll make a prediction, just not to chicken out on you here, but in terms of who will probably get it, at this juncture, I would say probably the betting odds would be Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz.
That would not be my personal choice, although I think he or any of the other Republicans, for that matter, including Trump, are superior to Hillary Clinton. But, at this juncture, I think Ted Cruz would be the favorite for the nomination, yeah.
Okay. Well, then, if that's the case, then Donald Trump will be his VP?
I cannot see either Donald wanting to be anybody's number two or anybody wanting Trump is their number two. I mean, this is not a number two kind of guy. You would never know what your running mate was going to say. Donald Trump is on nobody's short list, I would think, of running mates.
Well, how about Governor Haley? Do you think she's on a short list? I mean, for months and months and months, it's been talked about that she was drinking the Kool-Aid up there in Washington, D.C., and then with that speech that she gave the other night, what are you thinking?
I think she's still on just about everybody's short list, maybe even including Trump's, although she certainly did nothing to further that. But she offers a lot to the ticket. She offers diversity. She offers great speaking skills. If you're more of an insurgent, like a Trump or a Cruz, she seems more of an establishment candidate that would satisfy that part of the Republican electorate and maybe reach out to independents. And no Republican is going to win the presidency without the independent vote. The only liability for Nikki Haley is geography. She doesn't, quote, bring to the table any important state, not demeaning South Carolina, but if a Republican finds himself needing South Carolina's electoral vote, that Republican has already lost the election. Whereas, let's say, a John Kasich from Ohio, that's a state in play, and no Republican has ever won the presidency without carrying Ohio.
That's right. So this could be a problem as far as... as far as that goes, but it is interesting that she has positioned herself to be desirable, correct?
Well, I guess she's positioned herself. I'm not sure that she would have had to do anything to really be in that position. I mean, just who she is, the daughter of immigrants, her speaking ability, the fact that she's a woman, all of the fact that she probably leans toward the establishment faction of the Republican Party, all of these are qualities that would make her attractive to any number of people running. And I don't know that I am aware that she has positioned herself, i.e. Actively calculated to get this. I just think she has those qualifications in a year when they're important.
Okay. All right. Well, those are some of the interesting ones out there. Now I want to ask you about Rand Paul last night doing his own personal debate.
Well, in terms of the Republican nomination, it's irrelevant. He's not going to be on the ticket.
Right.
He brings very little to the table. The Libertarian support has gone overwhelmingly to Ted Cruz. Cruz is their guy this time. So the fact that he didn't show up for the kiddies table debate, I don't suppose it helped his case any. It made him look, I think, a little petulant. But on the other hand, I don't know that we're talking about a significant factor in the election, really.
Right.
I just don't think it's going to be a major part of the discussion. He has not shown any traction, and I don't see him being an important factor. I don't think it helped him, but he's already low enough that it's not going to be a significant
I just thought it was pretty interesting that he was doing his own debate with a Periscope and just doing his own thing. I thought that was pretty innovative for an idea.
Well, okay, I'll give him innovative. It was that. But, I mean, again, we're this close to the election, that is to say the beginning of the primary season, that he's not going to be a significant factor. A lot of other candidates still running are not going to be significant factors either. But I'll give him innovation. Yeah,
innovation.
I'll give him that.
Yeah. All right. Well, now let's go on to President Obama. What did you think there? You know, he seems to me like he's very concerned on the legacy that he's going to leave behind, and that. I thought it was very interesting, his comment that maybe he should have worked harder to unite rather than be a, he didn't say divider, but to unite rather than the divisiveness that has continued. That's maybe one of his regrets.
Yeah, well, his entire State of the Union address just about was devoted to legacy. Every president, of course, is concerned about legacy, but this one in particular, I guess he should regret that, but I mean, he has done a lot of things that are very divisive by their very nature. He has pushed the country very hard to the left. He has done so using tactics which are, in many cases, not constitutional, in some cases, not even remotely constitutional. it certainly would be no surprise. I assume that he's done things pretty much the way he wanted to. His regret, I don't think, is anything that he's done. His regret is that Republicans haven't rolled over, played dead, and said, oh, yes, I see how right you are. That's his regret.
Why do you think they just did that with the budget, though, Jim? I mean, when they did the budget deal, it just seemed like it just kind of rolled over and gave him what he wanted, and, you know, with the idea that we'll be able to undo and change. But, well, I think that left a really bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
It did, but again, we're in an election cycle, and Republicans have learned well the lesson, and that is that when you go to the mat over the budget and there is a government shutdown, that invariably the Republican Party gets blamed. I mean, that has always been the case. I don't think it's fair, but that's the way the electorate goes. And I think the general feeling in the Republican Party is do what it takes to avoid getting tagged with the blame for a government shutdown. And then if we win the election, then we can do things our way. I think that's the general view. I think it left a bad taste in the mouths of those who went along with it, but they're trying to be pragmatic. And they realize that beating Hillary Clinton is not going to be easy.
What do you think about where Hillary's at? You know, do you think that they're going to push this investigation any further, or is it going to fizzle?
Oh, I don't think it's going to fizzle. In fact, I think it's gone far enough now that unless she is indicted, that you'll see a huge revolt within the FBI. I think you'll see resignations. I think it'll be a major problem. I think that she is probably headed for an indictment. I'm not sure that would derail her for the nomination. There are so many in the Democratic Party whose entire goal is who can give me the most free stuff, that is to say the most stuff paid for by somebody else, that I don't know that it would matter to those people. It'll matter to the party leadership. And I'll tell you something, if she is indicted, you will suddenly see the reemergence of Joe Biden. And you might very well see a Biden-Elizabeth Warren ticket come November. Bernie Sanders, there's no way in the world that the Democratic Party wants to be involved in a McGovern or Goldwater-level debacle. So, I think that Hillary, she has a problem there. She does have a problem. And, of course, Sanders is now looking stronger. But I just do not see the Democratic Party. You must remember, Sanders. We don't have a national primary. Sanders is looking better nationwide, but we go state by state. So he'll do well in Iowa. He may well win New Hampshire. After that, you head south. Hillary leads him by a mile in South Carolina, by another mile in Nevada, and overall, I don't see there's any way that Bernie Sanders beats her for the nomination. No, the only thing that beats Hillary would be an indictment, if that.
Okay. So, because they were, what was Cruz talking about? That she'd be running back and forth between if she won the White House and investigations back and forth. So, I find it amazing that at this juncture, something still hasn't moved on Hillary and that she still just keeps trucking on.
Well, I put it this way, I don't know how far the FBI investigation has to go, but it's inconceivable to me that it could be drawn out through the entire campaign. It'll come to a head at some point, and it looks like it's going to do so right in the middle of the primary season. But it might be even worse if it were just to keep hanging over her head the whole way. Will she be indicted? Will she be indicted? It might be better at this juncture, as bad as it would be, it might be better for Hillary to be indicted tomorrow so she could get it behind her.
Yes. I think you're right on that, but I just I find it hard to believe that still she keeps trucking on. There is, of course, now Bill is getting involved. You know, I think it's interesting, isn't it, that Bill hasn't been involved and now they're going to get him involved?
It is. The use of Bill Clinton, whatever you want to say about Bill Clinton, and I've said a number of things that aren't terribly complimentary, but he, I think, along with Franklin Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan, is one of the three preeminent American politicians of the 20th century. Al Gore did not want to use Clinton that much in 2000, One, he was afraid of the taint of scandal, and two, I think he wanted to prove he was his own man and could win on his own, and he did wind up almost winning. A bill might very well have made the difference. Hillary, I think, for one thing, of course, there's the problem with his behavior in their marriage, on top of which I think she wants to prove that she can win on her own. But Bill is still an asset. The only problem I see is that Bill has never been the same asset since he stopped campaigning for himself. In 08, when he campaigned for Hillary, he made more gaffes than we're used to hearing from Bill Clinton. And I wonder, frankly, if Bill Clinton is so self-centered that he only brings his A game when he's campaigning for himself. So if the really effective Bill Clinton weighs in for Hillary, that will help. But if the Bill from 08 weighs in, I'm not. It'll help some, but not that much.
That's true. That's true. But I mean, it just blows me away. What did you think of Carly Fiorini's comment last night that at least she still loves spending time with her husband?
Well, I guess we could call that a veiled comment, but of course you'd have to be pretty uninformed to not know who she was talking about. She came on pretty strong. She noted she was proud to be sitting at a table with two former winners of the Iowa caucuses. Put another way, I'm sitting here with people who have shown that they can win an early contest but can't win the nomination. Overall, on the night, she probably had the best performance of anybody, or maybe on a par with Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jim, this is all interesting, and we'll be looking back on this and wondering whether, when this all comes together, who it's all been worth talking about. But, boy, I tell you what, Trump certainly has gotten a lot of free publicity out of this whole thing.
Well, he always gets a lot of free publicity because Donald does something outrageous and all the cameras and microphones turn to look at him. That's what he does. He attracts publicity. He is the first shock jock to run for president.
You know what I thought was interesting is they didn't really, they made him wait last night before they ever called on him in the debate.
Well, I guess they did, actually, although I was
you were on
pretty busy with other things, but he certainly wasn't in the thick of it from the first moment. That's very true.
Yeah, I thought, you know, and his expressions always get me when the camera flashes on him and he's standing there with that mug shot that he puts out there. But I thought it was interesting because here he was in the center, and yet they went to everybody else and then finally to Trump. I thought that was kind of looking for him to react. Was what I thought they were kind of looking for.
It might have been. It might have been recognition of the fact that maybe it was high time the other candidates got a chance. Maybe it was out of a sense of fairness because, I mean, it is unfortunate that a system rewards just being a boorish loudmouth. And that's what he's been, of course, on many an occasion that has gotten him all the attention in the first place. So maybe they were just trying to make sure that the world knows who some of these other people are.
Yeah. I also think, though, Jim, in fairness to Trump, would we be discussing a lot of the issues if it hadn't been brought up there, however it was brought up?
Well, I'll put it this way. Serious people would have. I'll grant you for a lot of people out there, WWE fans of professional wrestling, maybe not. But serious people, yes, would have been talking about those same issues.
Would it have brought as much attention to all this pre-primary stuff? Do you think it would have been as involved?
Oh, you wouldn't have the rating for some of the debates that you've had with Donald Trump. It's unfortunate that it takes a circus like this to actually get the public watching. But, yeah, for a lot of the public, yes, it took Donald Trump to make it interesting to them.
Hey,
which says a lot more about them than it does about Donald Trump.
Hey, you're listening to WCRS. I am here with the one and only Jim Bohannon. Hey, Jim, you know what? I sure appreciate you filling in with me this morning. Thanks so much, and we love the fact that you're now living in South Carolina.
Well, thank you, ma'am. It's my privilege and my pleasure.
We'll have to see about getting you down here in the studio now that you're a little closer.
There you go.
All right. Have a good one, Jim.
You too. Thank you, Ann.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.